on radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to Invest Talk. This is our Thursday, August 22nd, 2024 edition, and we are here to help you navigate these interesting times in markets and geopolitics as well. And the sand underneath your feet is shifting, and you need to know how to regain your balance. And that's what we are here to help you with, is understand the facts that are on the ground so that you can navigate them appropriately based on your end goals. We all have different goals. We all start from a different place, but the principles are usually the same. It's about making smart decisions with data, not with emotions. Emotions are the enemy. There's a great book called Ego is Your Enemy, but that's true, but also emotions are your enemy. I think we all have, you know, made a mistake in our lives due to emotional action as opposed to rational action. So if there's one message you take each and every day from Invest Talk, is that your decisions should be grounded in fact, grounded in solid rationale, not chasing performance, not buying hype, not chasing that latest hot fad. It's about the principles of good investments, good money management. And that are good, that's buying good companies, good assets with good cash flow that are creating value to the world. And that value produces earnings, and those earnings are a credit to you, the shareholder, ultimately. Or the bondholder, or whatever asset you're holding in relation to that particular entity. So that's what this show is here for. It's to answer your finance and investment questions and help guide you through the maze of investing, one lesson at a time. Now we're going to look at today's market performance as well as run down some show topics. But first, let's tackle this caller question now.
Hi, this is Pam from Philadelphia. Thank you for your podcast. I really enjoy it. I'm wondering about International Paper. I own International Paper. I've owned it for about a year, and it's up like 35%. I'm wondering if you think it's a good time to sell or if I should continue to hold on to it. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Pretty good move in International Paper. Thanks for the call, Pam. Now, this is one of the largest producers of packaging products in the United States, accounts for roughly one-third of the North American corrugated packaging market. It also has operations in Brazil, India, and China. But three-fourths of its sales are in North America. So, yes, it has some international footprint, but it's mainly domestic, even though it's called International Paper, right? $17 billion market cap, roughly. About $5 billion-ish in net debt. That's fine. Free cash flow, about $700 million. That's gives it a free cash flow yield somewhere around 4.5. Not amazing, but decent. Profitability, return equity is only 5%. That's pretty low. Historically, it's been much higher, and you know, profitability has struggled lately. About a 4% dividend, a little less there, but that's fine. Certainly can afford to pay that dividend, based on its cash flow and based on its balance sheet, which is solid. So I don't think the dividend is at risk. I just don't love the profitability metrics. And then if you look at the multiples it's trading at, enterprise valued EBITDA is around 10, which is around the long-term average. Okay, so it's probably about fairly valued right now, honestly, in the high 40s. So I wouldn't be quick to sell it, but you're up good. I would probably relook at this and say, what is the percentage of my portfolio? Do I need to rebalance it a bit lower? And I will say, technically, you're getting some MACD divergences, and you're getting some signs that maybe this rally from the April lows, when it was around 34, is a little it's losing a bit of momentum. So this is a good time to trim it, but I don't see anything majorly wrong with it that I would sell the whole position, because the technicals are good. Once again, solid business, good cash flow, and nice dividend. So I would say trim it, but don't sell it. Thanks for the call. Now, we have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes, and our main focus point is about mortgages and three essential moves before the next Fed rate cut to make sure you're set up to take advantage of a rate cutting cycle. So we'll look at that story. In addition, I have some others on the docket for us to discuss. Number one, behavioral biases. I love these stories or these topics because it's so important to be self-aware, to be aware of the problems that plague us as humans. Once again, as I said at the top of the show, we are emotional beings. That's what it means to be human. But that doesn't mean that you need to use that part of your brain. You have a rational brain as well. But in order to block out that irrational side, you have to be aware of it. So I'm going to look at some behavioral biases, mainly what is called the endowment effect. Okay. Also, investors are getting back into equities rather quickly. And there's some numbers on how quickly that is. And it speaks to kind of how fast everyone just has the inclination to buy up every dip. So that's where we're at. But I'll look at those numbers. And then lastly, the election coming up. What does that mean for banks, Wall Street banks, capital rules around balance sheets, etc.? So we'll look at that story as well and which side that might come out on. We also have voice bank questions ready to play. One is on Starbucks and the other is on Chevron. And we also have comments that came in via the comment section over on our YouTube channel. And so we'll look at those questions. And of course, most importantly, your live calls. Now we're heading to a short break, but those live calls are most important. And on the other side of this break, we will talk about today's market activity and take your questions on the Invest Talk Anytime listener line. The number is always open. It never closes. It's 888-99-CHART.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com.
My question today is about H&E Equipment Services, Inc.
And for our podcast subscribers.
If you're willing to take the risk.
Invest Talk.
If you're okay with that risk.
With host and financial advisor Justin Klein.
And that volatility. Go for it.
And co-host and portfolio manager Luke Guerrero.
This company has fallen like a rock. It's down 52%.
Invest Talk.
Ticker symbol THT.
Everybody wants a secure financial future.
Richard, you have a question about TOL?
But getting there takes strategy, discipline, and the right information.
Wonder what you think of the price of it.
Let's go to Chris in Maine looking at IEX.
Hey, Justin. I own it. Just seeing what you thought of it.
Invest Talk is made better by listener contributions. So don't forget to call 888-99-CHART. It's official. We've now crossed over the 59 million download mark. Invest Talk. Call anytime. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. It's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Let's take a look at the market today. It was a very interesting day. We had the big rally from the lows just a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, you move pretty far, pretty fast, and that becomes an overbought situation. And you're bound to have a potential pullback, a potential rollover. And that's what you kind of got today. You had NVIDIA down nearly 4% and Tesla down over 5.5%. Those are really the big movers of the big names. Amazon down 2.2, Apple down a little less than 1%, Microsoft down 2%, Google down 1.25%. And it was a market where certainly the growth side was the underperformer. And we hadn't seen that for the past couple of weeks. Large cap growth was down over 2%. Mid cap value was actually slightly higher on the day. I'm just looking at the Morningstar style box here. And so the growth side certainly had a sell-off. And very interesting to see this after that bounce back. And are we going to get a redux of that sell-off? Well, this is the first sign that may be ahead. We do have a Jackson Hole tomorrow from Jerome Powell, what he is going to say that will move markets. You know, what is he saying about the future path of policy? Are we getting one or two rate cuts in the month of September? And what does he see for maybe now, between now and year end, I think is a big question. So that will be certainly a market mover. And maybe today was front running that potential speech. And so we'll look at, so that was the market today. What were the other big movers? You had the dollar was up a little bit. And so was, let's see, what the yen was down. That was interesting, is that the yen wasn't a cause of this. The yen was actually down on the day. It wasn't an unwind of the yen carry trade like we saw a couple weeks ago. And gold did pull back a little bit as well on that stronger dollar, but still remains in a very, very strong uptrend. So that's the markets. So that was the market today. And once again, we will get much more market moving headlines, at least tomorrow, even though there won't be a Fed change. It's all about signaling. Remember, the market always prices in the expected rate policy. And that's what the market is attempting to do, and will attempt to do after tomorrow's speech. Now let's go talk to James in New York, looking at CF Industries.
Yeah, I hold CF Industries, and I'm thinking of maybe selling it, or, you know, I'm not so sure. I'm not really seeing much price appreciation in it. I've had it for a year and a half, maybe 2 years, but not a lot of movement. I don't mind the dividend, but I don't know. Should I hold on to it?
Well, we actually own this for clients, so we like it. It's probably our favorite ag play, even though, you know, ag hasn't been the best place to be as of late. Let me take a look here. Yeah, hasn't been the best place to be, but we do like the CF Industries mainly because of the arbitrage between the cost of natural gas here as a feedstock into fertilizers and the difference between that and the cost of natural gas overseas. And so they make they have a steady business exporting overseas. Obviously, the domestic one becomes a bit more competitive, but they, you know, they operate in Florida mainly. They have factories out there. And so that's easy export to, especially places like Europe. So they have good cash flow, about $1.5 billion in free cash flow trailing 12 months. On a $15 billion market cap. That is $14 billion market cap, over a 10% free cash flow yield. That is very, very healthy. Return on equity is about 13%, which has come down, but longer term, it does average a bit higher. And then what are they doing with all of that cash? Well, they continue to buy back shares. 2018, they had 233 million shares outstanding. Now they have 180 million. And so we like what they're doing with their cash flow. They're buying back shares. And so I would not be quick to sell it. I would continue to hold. We hold it, like I said, for clients.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Now, I hope you're telling your friends about the Invest Talk YouTube channel, where we share charts. You can see my face, and we can you can glean a little bit more than just listening to the podcast. So I encourage you to head over there. You can also comment and ask your questions, and we will answer one of those questions now. Audio Obsession 8845 says, when referencing short interest, does that take into account put options for the underlying stock as well? The answer is no. The answer is no. That is, it's important, but it's not that important, okay? Because short interest is... The reason short interest is important is because if the stock goes up, there are potentially unlimited losses if you're short. And so oftentimes that can create a short squeeze. That's what, you know, Roaring Kitty and Wall Street Bets were trying to do. You know, create gamma squeezes on on companies that had high short interest to force people to go and buy it. Okay, which would force it up and create this market structure that would, double, triple, quadruple the stock in short periods of time. And so that's why short interest is important, to see where's that dry tinder out there of those people that are short that are forced to buy. Okay. On a put option, you're not, right? The most you could lose is just the value of that put option. That's why it really doesn't play into the importance of short interest. Thanks for the question. Now, moving into a break, still to come in this podcast, I will tackle more of your voice bank calls and get to the main focus point as well. So stay with me, but give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
You've got finance and investment questions, and Justin Klein is ready to provide his unbiased answers. Call now or anytime, 888-99-CHART.
Now, my focus point concerns this headline: three essential mortgage moves before the Fed cuts rates. And this is a time that a lot of people have been waiting for. Right? Rates have shot up. Everyone got used to 3% mortgage rates. And then inflation hit, and the Fed went into the steepest hiking cycle in decades. And, mortgages hit over 7%. Now they've kind of calmed down to closer to 6%. But even then, that's still higher than most people are happy with. They want lower. Okay. And we know that the Fed is set to cut rates multiple times between now and end of the year, most likely, and into next year. So how can you prepare? How do you know what you should look for to signal, okay, maybe it's time to refinance? Well, the first is, know what your current rate is. Is it 30-year fixed? Is it variable? When does it adjust? Maybe coming up, maybe you did a 5-year ARM 3.5 years ago, and within 18 months, that could adjust a lot higher, right? So being very cognizant of what you're currently in and the structure of that mortgage, whether it's simple or more complex. And then know what to look for a potential refinancing opportunity. Now, yeah, rates are down, but it's still not low enough for the vast majority of people to refinance. Okay. Now, what I will say is, if you have roughly a 3% mortgage, give or take a 0.5% either way, it's pretty unlikely you'll get a refinancing opportunity. I do not think that this is a cycle where we're going back to, next to 0% interest rates. And a lot of the recent move in rates is pricing in, right? Pricing in these rate cuts, okay? So don't think that, the Fed's going to cut rates maybe 100 basis points between now and year end, and that the mortgage rate's going to drop 100 basis points. Because remember, the market prices these things in. So the vast majority of that move is already in place, okay? Now, could rates go lower? Remember, it's usually the 10-year is the best proxy for mortgage rates. And we've already had a pretty big move, peaked out around 4.7% earlier in the year. And now we're at 3.8%. So you've already seen that roughly 100 basis point drop in the 10-year. Okay. So the next question will be is, what is that number based on your current rate, your current structure, that makes it worthwhile for you to refinance? So have a target, and then you can start monitoring it or do the work ahead of time. So you know, okay, if it gets to here, then I should call around and I should try to find the best deal to potentially refinance. If you don't know that number, you don't know what you're looking for. Okay. Now, most people use the 1% rule. Hey, if it's 1% lower than my current rate, it's worthwhile to refinance. Well, that depends. On a small loan, $200,000-$300,000, yeah, probably. On a large loan, it could be only a quarter point difference, could mean thousands and thousands of dollars of savings in just a year, right? Because the typical refinancing cost, Freddie Mac estimates to be around $5,000. So you have to divide that those closing costs by your monthly savings. And that will tell you how many months it takes for you to recoup those costs. Typically, you want that to be a year or less, okay? But it's different for everybody. Then you want to, once you know that number, then you want to be prepared, right? Lenders, every lender has its own criteria for a refinance. So, you know, look at your numbers and, you know, maybe hold off on huge expenses so that you have a larger cash reserve, because you always have to have some level of cash reserve typically to get these mortgages. And so obviously getting your financial house in order is always going to help to make sure that, hey, once you do hit that level where it does make financial sense, now it's can I actually get the loan based on credit score, based on assets, based on equity, et cetera. Okay. So be very aware of all of those things and then shop around. Once you get to that point, shop around. Freddie Mac estimates that you can save about $1,200 per year just by getting four different quotes. And that's usually ideal. About three to four different quotes from different lenders, different brokers is very important. Understand that, you know, these mortgage brokers know, you know, you're going to shop around, and you should. If you're not, you're doing yourself a disservice. So that's how you prepare going forward for this Fed rate cutting cycle. A lot of this is priced in, though. So don't think that, hey, we get 150 basis points of cuts in the next year, that we're going to go from mortgages at 6% all the way down to 4.5%. I don't think that's the case. 5 is probably, at least in the near term, the best you could ask for. And guess what? I could easily see Fed doing, you know, 100 basis points of cuts now, getting the Fed funds to the low 4s, for example. Maybe you get mortgage rates down into the mid 5s and inflation starts to go back up next year because the dollar is weakening. And that puts a rally in commodity prices, for example. You've seen that in gold. So understand that we're in a new regime. Higher interest rates, higher inflation, even if right now we're getting a bit of the opposite in the short term. Now we're heading into a break. I'm ready to take your calls. I'm Justin Klein. So give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It is official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The more you learn about how the market works, the better your chances for success. So don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, in the next InvestTalk, we'll look into this question. Fraud detection. Who should cover scam losses, banks or consumers? Financial institutions are implementing advanced technologies and strategies to combat these scams, while regulators explore new policies to protect consumers and hold banks accountable. We'll get to that story tomorrow, but for now, let's keep the rhythm going and swing back to the InvestTalk Voice Bank This came in earlier from a listener in Southern California.
Hello, this is Brett from Long Beach, California. Just wanted to get your analysis on Starbucks and Chevron. I am a big buyer of Starbucks and Chevron for long term. Just wanted to see if those are good holds or if I should keep dollar cost averaging those or what's your insight. Love your show. I'm listening every night. Thank you.
All right. Looking at Starbucks and Chevron, we recently picked up Starbucks from the lows in the low 70s. After that sell-off in May, we've been buying it around the $75 mark. And then the new CEO came from Chipotle, and the stock is now up to 92 above all the major moving averages. That's a positive, consolidating here in the low 90s, which is good. All bullish indications there. So we continue to hold it. I would continue to buy it. I do think they're a great brand, and the valuation, although not as nice in the low 90s as it was in the mid 70s, I still think it's fairly attractive. But there's still some work to do for the new incoming CEO to really turn things in the right direction. But you know, he has some good has a good track record with Chipotle, so we're still fans of Starbucks, and we continue to buy it on dips, especially if it gets back into the low 80s. What else? Oh, Chevron. Yeah, Chevron, obviously very well diversified. Them and Exxon are the two behemoths. And, you know, we like Exxon a bit more, shall we say, than Chevron. So I would rather go with Exxon, but Chevron's just fine as well. Great company, good profitability. And I would be okay with buying Chevron or Exxon as well. All right, let's talk a little bit about your cognitive biases, okay? And this is very evident in the crypto world, as well as think of tickets. And a good example is the recent Taylor Swift World Tour, where ticket prices were trading for, on average, 8 times their face value. Many of them hitting well over $1,000 per ticket. But if you're a Swiftie, you did not sell. Even though these prices in many cases would maybe change their life a little bit. But most importantly for them, it was right seeing their favorite star in person. And so this does highlight, however, what psychologists and behavioral finance academics call the endowment effect. It's where you have a bias in favor of what you already own. You know, these ticket holders or crypto investors might be up a giant amount, but they were valuing it much higher than they would otherwise because they actually own it, right? If they didn't own it, they wouldn't buy it, right? So that doesn't make sense, right? You missed out. You didn't get those tickets. Now they're over $1,000. I'm not going to buy it. So if you owned it, if you're on the flip side, you actually had owned it, you actually got those tickets, then by theory, you should sell because you wouldn't buy at these prices. And so it's very common for this to apply to equity investing as well, where because you made the decision, you're the one that holds the particular stock. You want to be right. You think that company is better than you would if you had not bought it. Okay, and then you combine that bias with what's called the status quo bias, which is inertia, right? I'm fine. I'm doing well. I hold this position. It could be doing okay. It could be doing great. But, you know, you have to go in there and sell it. And now you have to think about where else you put that money. So it's just easier not to do anything. Okay. And then there's the loss aversion part, which is, hey, I'm down. I don't want to crystallize my loss. I'm going to wait to get even. This is why charting works, because There's a bunch of people that bought at a previous high and then it rolled over and now it's back to that level. And what are those people doing? They're getting even. They're getting out. They're getting even, right? Oh, I'm no longer down. I'm even. I'm selling. So what does that tell you? Does that have anything to do with the value or quality of the business? No. It's just a psychological marker. And what this tends to do is it actually gets people to sell winners because they say, I'm up, I'm winning, I'm making money. I'm gonna lock some of that in. But those that are down, no, I don't want to sell that. Then I'll be locked into a loss. But the reality is the exact opposite. Why? Because momentum matters. Every statistical analysis shows momentum is important. Not the only factor, but it's important to the attribution of returns. Meaning if a stock is having positive price momentum, it tends to stay in momentum. The trend is your friend and vice versa. So it's usually actually better to run with your winners, let them go within reason. Rebalancing is fine. But that's why, you know, you hear on the show, should I sell it or should I buy it? Well, sometimes most of the time, it's somewhere in the middle. But once again, the reality is you should let your winners run and ditch your losers due to that momentum factor. So I wanted to highlight that because this is a common mistake the average investor makes due to emotions. Simple as that. And as I said at the top of the show, emotions are your enemy. Now let's grab another caller question. You know the number. It's 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Invest Talk. Hoping you guys could do an analysis of Pulte Homes, where the ticker is PHM, where you guys see this company in the next year or two, given the fact that you guys talk a lot about how there's still a supply issue with homes. Seems like they continue to crush it in each myself wide and buy this company. How you feel like home builders will do given the new, legislation that's passed on the Realtors Association and on Justin's focus point from the yesterday podcast. To me, it seems like it'd be more confusing for buyers, maybe even make it harder to buy homes and contribute to the supply issue. I just want to know what you guys think, and if it's a good buy, if it's too expensive. Thanks.
Well, I actually think it's the opposite when it comes to these new rules. It's cheaper now to sell, right? You don't have to pay 5%. You only have to pay maybe 2.5%, 3% to your listing agent. And therefore, you know, that transaction cost is likely to shrink. Now, how much, you know, kind of depends on each market and how things are evolve. But I think on the margins, it will probably help supply a little bit. But Pulte, we actually had owned this for a while. And this is another good example. We had, those issues with trimming those gains, we had those as well. We bought this in the, 30s or 40s, and it ran to mid 80s. I think that's when we kind of cut it. Now that did pull back a little bit. And then we thought, okay, we were smart. And then it ran back up. Now it's at 129. And so, Pulte is one of our favorite home builders out there due to its diversity of the markets that it operates in. 46 different markets in 26 different states. And I do agree that home builders in general are going to continue to do fairly well because of that limited supply. Now, supply is starting to rise. You're going to see these big doom and gloomers on YouTube and social media. Oh my God, inventory is up 82%. Everything's going to crash. No, not the case. Why? Because you're coming from a very low base and things are just kind of getting back to normal. So I like your thought process here. I like Pulte Homes. The momentum is solid. I like it. I do think it's a bit overvalued, but the trends are good. I'm not against buying Pulte. It's definitely near the top of our list as of the home builders that are out there. So if you're looking for exposure, you are barking up the right tree. Now, 2024 is moving fast, and proof is that we are in the warmest days of the third quarter. And, we're over halfway done with summer, okay? And fall is just around the corner. And if you're a serious investor, you need to understand how to operate in this new environment with higher inflation, higher interest rates, more geopolitical uncertainty, and new trends that continue to emerge on a daily basis. Gold hitting all-time highs, for example. The dollar rolling over. What does that mean for different asset classes, different sectors of the market, different style factors of the market, growth versus value, large versus small, for example. So these are things that we talk about on our free portfolio review assessments. We do these all the time via telephone or Zoom, usually Zoom meetings now. So I encourage you to reach out, just head over to investtalk.com, click on the portfolio review button, fill that out, and we will get back to you, set up a call, run an analysis on your current holdings and say, okay, where are you at? Does this fit your goal? Does it fit your risk tolerance level? Does it fit the current market trends that continue to evolve? And that's what these are really about. So if you need a second opinion, don't hesitate to take advantage of this. We do this all the time. KP Financial is where we operate the same philosophy as we do on the show, which is independent thinking and shared success. And we practice parallel investing, which means we invest right alongside our clients. So head over to investtalk.com and click on that portfolio review button. Now, this is InvestTalk now with over 59 million downloads thanks to you, and our work continues in just 30 seconds.
Every investor is working to build a secure financial future.
Would this be an opportune time to get into annuities?
Everyone's situation is different.
Get your thoughts on CRM, Salesforce.
And so are their questions.
And I was just calling for your assessment of Blackstone Incorporated.
24/7, rain or shine, InvestTalk is made better by the power of you. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Justin and Luke, this is Frank from LA, longtime listener of the show. Thanks for all you guys do. Last week, you guys mentioned senior housing REITs as a potential investment to look into, given the gap between supply and demand in the future. I've always been interested in the field, but I found it hard to find suitable companies. I looked at several senior housing REITs, and they all seem to be fairly priced at the moment, if not overpriced at this point, I guess. I was looking at a couple that I think might still have some potential upside. And one of them is LTC Properties, ticker symbol LTC. It has a pretty nice dividend, but I don't know how sustainable that is based on their adjusted funds from operation. Another question that I had is, would you wait for some of the main names to retrace a bit and pick a few good ones? Or would you invest in an ETF? I'm having a hard time finding an ETF that bundles different senior housing REITs. The closest I found is AGNG, which is overly indexed towards healthcare and pharma rather than REITs. So that doesn't really cover this strategy. We'd love to hear your opinion, and thanks for all you guys do.
All right. Looking at LTC and LTC Properties. And this is a healthcare facilities REIT. It does have senior housing and healthcare facilities in its portfolio. And so it has independent living communities, assisted living communities, memory care communities, skilled nursing centers, as well as other types of properties. It's okay. Return equity is around 10%, but it's a small name, about $1.5 billion market cap. Its free cash flow is solid, about a little over $100 million. The trends, and that's headed higher, which I like. I don't hate it. It did have a recent sell-off. I would see what the reason is for that back on July 30th. I would I need to dig into that story. It was that earnings and were things, what were the trends there? The technicals since then have been bearish. They've just been kind of consolidating here in the mid-30s, and today it had a rough day down over 1%. So I would be patient on this particular one. It looks okay on the surface level, but I would continue to dig. AGNG, that's an interesting play. It has a 50 basis point expense ratio. That's a little high, but I wouldn't mind something like that. It's mainly healthcare, right? 92% healthcare. So I think that's probably more of a healthcare replacement as opposed to a REIT replacement. An LTC, it's fine. But I think you can find better out there within the space. Thanks for the call. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein, and we have one goal each and every weekday, and that's help you achieve your own version of financial freedom by giving you the right frame of mind to think about your investments, to make better decisions, and to block out the noise and focus on the facts on the ground. Not your emotions, not hyperbole. It's really about making good, consistent decisions with your money and learning, having a thirst for learning. If you aren't learning in this field, then you're going to fall behind. You're not going to do a very good job for yourself. So hopefully we are part of your education each and every weekday. And so we thank you for tuning in. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in now at 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk. Tell your friends they can listen live, download the free podcast, or watch InvestTalk on our YouTube channel. And they can leave their finance and investment questions anytime on 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is James from Georgia. I was trying to contact Justin or Luke regarding Iron Mountain Incorporated. Ticker symbol is IRM. I've been holding this stock for a while. I was trying to see if you could look into it to see how it's performing currently and what the outlook is for this particular holding. We greatly appreciate all you do, and we'll listen to the show for your answer. Have a good day. Thank you.
Well, Iron Mountain is performing fantastic as of late. And for everyone else out there, this is a REIT that basically provides record management as well as storage services. And so it's kind of a weirdly structured REIT. Surprised they get away with it. But, it's a name that's on its hair. It was at $57 last October. And today it's at $112. So it's nearly doubled since then and pays a 2.5% dividend. So it's been a fantastic performer. But to me, it's gotten way, 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 way ahead of itself. It's extremely overbought on a weekly chart. And interesting enough, some insider selling is going on here in a big, big way. So I would not be buying it now. I think it's gotten ahead of itself and definitely needs to cool off and is definitely overvalued. So I would pass on Iron Mountain for now. Although near term, you know, the momentum is strong, so it could continue for a little bit longer, but not a good entry point at the current time. Now let's talk a little bit about this rebound in equities. And we had that dramatic sell-off just a couple of weeks ago. Okay, but a recent report from, I believe it was Bank of America, B of A, showed that positioning is nearly back to where it was pre-sell-off. Investors poured money back into index options, mega cap tech stocks, cyclicals, and defensives. What's interesting, though, is that if you look at kind of the growth to value trade, is that growth sold off in a big way, basically starting in, let me go to it, July 9th, actually. So it's been a while. Then you got to bounce back the last couple weeks. But today, that big sell-off in growth. And so, but it didn't get near where it was in July. And so I think you've had that rollover here in the mega cap tech names, even though people continue to kind of buy in on any dip. But I think it's a fool's errand at this point because of kind of the macro trends behind it. Now, money's also flowing back into volatility-controlled funds, and so that's why you saw the VIX come down a lot. So that also helps equity markets. And so what happened a few weeks ago was just a very crowded trade started to get unwound. And the money is pouring back into those trades, and so it gives even more tinder for another continued sell-off. Now, global equity markets last week notched their best weekly run since November. Okay, mainly because the economic data, I know the jobs number wasn't great at the beginning of the month, but you know, since then, the economic data seems okay. Now, the Fed funds futures market is showing 4 rate cuts by the end of the year. And credit investors, they don't see any problem. They see a soft landing in the U.S. economy. And 3 in 4 respondents now expect U.S. inflation to slow without triggering a recession, which is basically Goldilocks. That is a good scenario for equities. continued economic growth, not amazing economic growth, but economic growth nonetheless, and inflation continuing to ebb, which gives room for the Fed to cut. Now, the number one concern in markets, well, it's geopolitics. We know that. The election, what's going on in Russia and Ukraine, as well as the Middle East, and then obviously China. And then central bank policy is the next on the list. But clearly, the Fed is trying to get ahead of this a little bit. Okay, and so very interesting set of reports here that show how investors have reacted. But if you look at the actual trends, this was just a counter trend bounce in many ways. And that's why I think you will continue to see a choppy market between now and the election. The election's still a bit of ways away, right? Over 2 months. So I wanted to highlight that because it's important to get some context to this bounce and what it really means for markets as we close out the quarter. Well, that about does it. I'm Justin Klein. This is another Invest Talk program. We thank you for listening. We encourage you to tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.